Time now for the original Big Band Serenade with your host, Dennis Humphrey.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome once again to another Big Band Serenade. This is Dennis Humphrey, your host and your guide as we travel back in time, back to the best of the big band era. This week's episode of One Night Stand is from November the 1st, 1971. Its focus is on Benny Goodman, featuring the famous Carnegie Hall concert. Noted music critic Irving Colodine, drummer Gene Krupa, and trumpeter Harry James joined Benny Goodman to share their personal recollections of the concert that Goodman initially described as a high-powered publicity stunt, but which became one of the greatest events in the history of jazz.
It was late 1937. Benny Goodman's popularity was spreading at a fantastic rate through his popular recordings, numerous broadcasts from the Hotel Pennsylvania, and its new half-hour radio commercial, The Camel Caravan, with commentary by Clifton Fadiman and Robert Benchley, and special material from Johnny Mercer. The public asked, what next? Publicist Wynn Nathanson said, how about Carnegie Hall? Goodman hesitated, but Sol Hurock agreed to promote it. And on the night of January 16th, 1938, it happened. The famous Carnegie Hall jazz concert of Benny Goodman and his orchestra. Good evening, this is Arnold Dane. You're listening to Let's Dance, the unforgettable theme song of the King of Swing, Benny Goodman. From now until 10 o'clock tonight, we'll be featuring music from the Goodman Carnegie Hall Concert on a one-night stand with the great bands. Brought to you by the Constitution Plaza Shops, now celebrating Winter Plaza Days, and by WTIC Radio. Return with us now to that most thrilling day from yesteryear. Benny Goodman at Carnegie Hall.
Thank you.
That's the way the Carnegie Hall concert opened, with the Benny Goodman Orchestra playing Don't Be That Way. Everyone in the band was nervous. Goodman himself beat the tempo off a bit too slowly. Benny soloed, then Babe Russin on tenor. Harry James got the first big burst of applause when he soloed. Then that tremendous Gene Krupa break on drums. The crowd howled, Gene's hair fell into his eyes, and the band and the whole evening fell into a groove. We'll hear how they grooved with Life Goes to a Party in a moment. It seems as though everybody's having sales this time of year. Big sales, little sales, white sales, color sales. But you know, one of the best sales of the season is going on right now in the shops on Constitution Plaza. Winter Plaza Days. Twice a year, the shops get together for a great sale event, and this is it. Good, solid value on all the Plaza shops' fine lines of merchandise, and you'll find some fantastic markdowns of as much as 60%. You heard right, 60%. And don't forget, the Plaza shops offer 2 free hours of parking in the Constitution Plaza garages to their customers with ticket validation. All day, any day, every day. So take advantage of Plaza Days tomorrow in the shops on Constitution Plaza. American Express, Brentano's, the Bridal Party Penthouse, Edward Herwich, Gelb Jewelers, Glassman's, the Hobnob for lunch or supper, Lane Bryant, Manning Armstrong, Rogers Pete, and W&J Sloan. That's Winter Plaza Days in the Constitution Plaza shops. It ends tomorrow, but the shops are open until 9 on Thursday night. Thank you. Benny Goodman Band at Carnegie Hall, 1938, and Life Goes to a Party. The title was a tribute to a picture series in Life magazine covering an evening with the Goodman Band. It was arranged by Harry James, who also soloed, along with Benny Goodman, Babe Russin on tenor. Irving Culloden is a well-known author and music critic. When the album of Benny Goodman at Carnegie Hall was released, it was Mr. Culloden who was asked to provide the liner notes. And yet the fact that this music is available on record at all came about almost by accident. Could you tell us that story, Irving?
Well, it was an odd sequence of events. No one knew at the time that the concert was being taken down. We didn't have tape in those days, so you can't say it was being taped. But there was a microphone set up in the hall, which was used by the Philharmonic Orchestra for its broadcast. And there was a line that ran to the studio from where the orchestra broadcast. And a friend of Goodman's had the idea of opening up this mic and paying the line charges and whatever engineering costs were involved, just to have the results for his own enjoyment. And it was about 10 years later, I would speculate, that I read someplace that Goodman had found his copy of the original, untouched since the time of the concert, in a closet, or his daughter had found them and asked him what it was, and brought back to mind the fact that he had this document, and rather than taking the chance of scratching the records, he took them to a studio and hadn't transferred the tape, and that's how the long-playing record came into being. It's a piece of history that could not be reconstructed in any other fashion.
As you think back to the concert now, what do you consider the highlights?
That was the thing called Sing, 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 which began many weeks before this Carnegie Hall concert as an elaboration of a rather ordinary tune at the time, and grew into a prolonged fantasy in which all sorts of choruses and solos were played sequentially.
This may be a difficult question to answer, but in your long and close association with music, would you say that this was probably the most exciting big band concert that you ever attended?
Both the most memorable and the most exciting, for the simple reason that there had been no precedent for it. It imitated nothing. It derived from nothing. It was a fresh start in a direction that had not been pioneered previously, and it embodied such a wealth of talent in the band of that particular month that almost anything that followed was rather pale by comparison.
Our thanks to well-known author and music critic Irving Culloden. In quoting from his liner notes, Maxine Sullivan's swinging of Scottish tunes was a relatively new phenomenon in January of 1938. When Goodman decided to transfer the idea to a big band, he called in, as arranger, an old friend, piano player and arranger named Claude Thornhill. The patter of applause in the background greets the appearance in pink party dress and blonde hair of Martha Tilton. Here's Loch Lomond.
Take the high road and I'll take the low road, but I'll be in Scotland afore you. For me and my true love may never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny brae, where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where me and my true love were ever wont to gaze, on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. Now you take the high road and I'll take the low road, but I'll be in Scotland afore you. For me and my true love may never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. shady glen on the steep, steep side of Ben Lomond.
Martha Tilton singing Loch Lomond with Benny Goodman at Carnegie Hall, and of course the trumpet chorus was by Harry James. Gene Krupa's beat is prominent throughout this concert, and Gene Krupa himself is still recognized as one of the most popular and colorful musicians of the big band era and beyond. And he was one of the young stars of the concert at Carnegie Hall that night. Gene, tell us about the concert.
What can I tell you about the concert?
Okay.
I never thought I'd get in the back door, let alone the the front door.
You didn't think you'd ever perform in Carnegie Hall, huh?
It was one of the greatest thrills I've ever had in my life.
When you first heard that Benny was planning the concert there, what was your first reaction? Did you think maybe it was kind of a wild-eyed scheme?
Oh, I thought it was a great thing, and the preparation for it was pretty good. We had Hackett and Basie and a lot of people, you know, that were Johnny Hodges, people like that, that were on the show, you know.
Well, that night, I think you were absolutely superb, Gene.
Uh-huh.
I think the recording of Sing, Sing, Sing is, absolutely one of the big band classics, probably one of the three finest ever recorded.
I'll tell you one thing it's got. If it doesn't have a lot of real excellent musicianship, it's got a lot of verve and a lot of feeling in it, you know what I mean? It was one of those up things, you know.
It was an electricity that seemed to be generated because of the fact that there was a live and very appreciative crowd.
Right. Uh-huh.
How did you feel before the concert began? Were you
nervous,
sort of nervous?
Nervous as a cat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess we all were pretty nervous, you know.
As you think back to that evening, what is your proudest recollection of it?
Well, after things got the moving pretty good, I just liked the way the band sounded, you know. Yeah. I just was thrilled, of course, the way it's accepted and everything else, you know. At that time, I was already full of plans for my own band, things like that, so I was pretty hepped up about the whole thing, you know.
Gene, when you went off and had your own band, and incidentally, you've had some fabulous recordings, too, that we feature very frequently on our programs, did you ever have any regrets about going off on your own?
I think, everybody feels that he could have done a little more musically. It just don't happen, you know. There are certain things that you have to, certain standards are just set, you have to stay by them, and that's it, you know.
Well, I guarantee you, Gene, whenever you're ready to play again, your fans are ready to listen anytime.
Well, I'll be ready as soon as I keep practicing every day and enjoy it.
Gene Krupa is being troubled right now with a bad back, as are so many other people, but he does keep practicing and we keep listening. If you want to hear how Gene Krupa sounded in 1938 at the Carnegie Hall concert, listen now to the Benny Goodman Trio, which, of course, featured the maestro on clarinet and Jess Stacy on piano. This is a favorite jam tune from the 20s. It's still a favorite. It appeared on the third disc credited to the trio. Lady Be Good was the overside originally, and is a remarkable piece of music making by all concerned. It's Krupa's voice that you'll hear saying, "Take one more, Benny." And the one answering a little bit later, when Krupa's turn comes up, is Goodman's. Here's the Benny Goodman Trio at Carnegie Hall with China Boy. Benny Goodman Trio with Jess Stacy and Gene Krupa and China Boy at Carnegie Hall. On our one-night stand with the great bands coming to you on 1080 Radio, this is WTIC, Broadcast House in Hartford, Connecticut. W&J Sloan, Rogers Pete, and Manning Armstrong are all having sales on Constitution Plaza. But then, so are Lane Bryant, The Hobnob, Glassman's, and Gelb the Jeweler. And if that's not enough, Edward Hurwitz, Bridal Party Penthouse, Brentano's, and American Express are all in the act, too. What's going on? Winter Plaza Days in the shops on Constitution Plaza, and everybody's doing it. Right now, you'll find great values on all the plaza shops, fine lines of merchandise, with some unbelievable markdowns of as much as 60%. That's right, 60%. Now, that's a real sale. Winter Plaza Days. And don't forget, the Constitution Plaza shops are the only ones in Hartford who offer their customers 2 free hours of parking any day, all day, every day, with ticket validation. So plan to take advantage of Plaza Days tomorrow, because tomorrow is the last Plaza Day. That's Winter Plaza Days in the shops on Constitution Plaza, open Thursday night until 9. Bymir Bistuchain, the Andrews Sisters, and Ziggy Alman's Frelick Trumpet were all events of the 1937-38 winter. The song itself came out of a musical show written for the Second Avenue Yiddish Theater by Sholom Secunda a year before. It was not more than locally celebrated until the Andrews Sisters happened onto it. Alman's contribution to its history, the odd, exciting excursion in 6/8, grew naturally out of the tune's background. The Frelick is a lively dance of Jewish folklore, without which a wedding in the faith is incomplete. Not only did it give Bymir Bistuchain its distinctive flavor, it also put Elman to thinking of other uses of the material. His thought emerged first as Frelick in Swing, and then with words by Johnny Mercer as And the Angels Sing. This particular arrangement is by Jimmy Monday. Listen to the band and Ziggy Elman's Swing with Bymir Bistuchain.
By me, Bistuchain.
could say Bella, Bella, even say von der Bar. Each language only helps me tell you how grand you are.
By Mere Bis du Shame, featuring, of course, Ziggy Allman on trumpet with Benny Goodman at Carnegie Hall, 1938, and featuring the Lilton Martha Tilton as well. Harry James, in your brief but brilliant career with Benny Goodman, would you say that the night of January 16th, 1938, was the highlight?
Oh, by far. Because after all, that was the very first jazz concert at Carnegie Hall. And, it was quite an honor for it to be playing in the band, and it's like going to a Hall of Fame, you know.
Mm-hmm. You had some great moments in that concert, too. I'm thinking particularly of Shine.
Yeah, that's when we did the tribute to the different players, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it was such a beautiful thrill, the entire concert, that it'll never be surpassed by a really concerned performance. Harry James playing Louis Satchmo Armstrong with Shine as part of that salute to the history of jazz at Carnegie Hall. Ted Lewis, who has taken off here, doubtless had more of a place in Goodman's personal history than in the Chronicle of Jazz, per se. Goodman earned his first money as a youth in Chicago by imitating Lewis at an amateur night in a theater. The satiric edge is surely sharper than it was, say, in 1923. An excerpt from the history of jazz at Carnegie Hall with Benny Goodman playing Ted Lewis. Now it's time to meet the maestro himself. Benny, Metronome Magazine published at the time the information that Benny Goodman will replace Jack Barbaroli and all those Philharmonic cats at Carnegie Hall.
Sir John Barbaroli now.
What were your feelings when you were first approached about this date? I imagine there was a bit of skepticism and maybe a little bit of downright fear.
Well, yes, it was arranged as more or less a sort of a high-powered publicity stunt to start with, you know, and it turned out to be just a concert. Oh, yes, to this extent, I was so fearful, I wanted to get, I remember I approached B. Lilly to tell a couple of, you know, an interlude of funny stories.
Yes.
I said, you know, people might get bored listening to music.
And I'll bet B. Lilly has been thankful ever since that she refused to do it. Sing, Sing, Sing. Is that the one that you remember the most happily from the Carnegie Hall concert?
Well, I think it was one of the numbers, particularly Jeff Stacy's solo in there. You know, I think it was a remarkable solo he played.
I think Sing, Sing, Sing would be a great one to recall right now. It runs about 12 minutes or so, and this is the way it was at one of those fantastically exciting moments on the night of January 16th, 1938, with Benny Goodman at Carnegie Hall. That Sing, 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 the greatest, most magical moment from Benny Goodman at Carnegie Hall, the concert of January 16th, 1938. And if the band was a little on the tight side at the beginning, they were at their absolute best with their encore number, Big John Special. And we'll hear that and one final comment from the maestro in a moment. Tomorrow is your last chance to pick up on some really great values during Winter Plaza Days in the shops on Constitution Plaza. As we've been telling you, you'll find exceptional value and some terrific markdowns during the sale event. And all on the Constitution Plaza shop's outstanding lines of quality merchandise. So plan to visit Constitution Plaza tomorrow, because tomorrow is the last Winter Plaza day, and you may not find another opportunity to save like this for quite a while. And remember, the Plaza shops offer their customers 2 free hours of parking in the Constitution Plaza garages, where inside elevators will whisk you right to Plaza level and the shops. And that free parking offer isn't limited either. It's all day, any day, every day, with ticket validation. Winter Plaza days, they end tomorrow in American Express, Brentano's, Bridal Party Penthouse, Edward Hurwitz, Gelb Jewelers, Glassman's, The Hobnob, Lane Bryant, Manning Armstrong, Rogers Pete, and W&J Sloan. Winter Plaza days in the shops on Constitution Plaza. Open tomorrow till 9. Benny Goodman, one more question for you. I'd like to check the validity of a statement that we've heard before. When someone approached you before the concert at Carnegie Hall and said, "How long an intermission would you like?" your comment was, "How long does Toscanini take?"
I think that's true. I'll take credit for that one.
Encore time at Carnegie Hall. Here's the Benny Goodman Band with Big John Special. For background information tonight, we are indebted to George T. Simon, author of the book The Big Bands, and to the album liner notes provided by our guest earlier, Irving Culloden. Our thanks, too, to our special guests, Harry James, Gene Krupa, and Benny Goodman himself. Our producer was Brian Hartnett. Our program recorded by engineer Bob Sherrago. A one-night stand with the great bands featuring the famous Benny Goodman Carnegie Hall concert of 1938 has been brought to you by the Constitution Plaza Shops, who remind you that Winter Plaza Days ends tomorrow, and by WTIC. This is Arnold Deans.